So how can a Broadway show get a record number of Tony nominations and then walk away with absolutely zero awards? Today, we're diving into the phenomenon that is Jeremy O. Harris's Slave Play, a work that ignited both standing ovations and some really heated protests. To really get what's going on with this play, you have to start with one number, 12. So what's with the 12? Well, back in 2020, Slave Play snagged 12 Tony nominations. This wasn't just a hit. This was historic. It was the most nominations ever for a non-musical play. By all accounts, it was a critical masterpiece. But of those 12 nominations, guess how many it won? Zero. Not a single one. A complete shutout. That contradiction right there, record-breaking praise versus a total award snub, is exactly what makes this play so fascinating. It was called brilliant, but at the same time, it was protested as exploitative. So what is Slave Play actually about? Let's get into it. It all starts with the play's basic concept, which is, well, it's challenging, to say the very least. The entire play is built around this fictional, experimental group therapy. We're introduced to three modern interracial couples who've come to a place called the McGregor Plantation, hoping to solve a very specific problem in their relationships. So the therapy involves these three couples. You've got Kenesha and Jim, Philip and Alana, and Gary and Dustin. Each pair is assigned a really charged historical role-play dynamic, which, as you can imagine, sets the stage for some incredibly intense and uncomfortable interactions. And this therapy? It all unfolds on stage in three very distinct acts, taking the audience on a pretty wild journey. The journey starts with Act 1, called Work. That's the shocking, explicit role-play. Then it shifts to Process, where the fantasy just shatters and the couples have to talk about and deconstruct what just happened. It all culminates in Exercise, which is just this deeply personal and emotional reckoning. And then you get the moment where everything changes. Right in the middle of a super intense scene, one of the characters gets too uncomfortable and yells out the safe word, Starbucks. Just like that, the 19th century illusion is completely shattered, and we are yanked right back into a modern-day therapy room. So, okay, beyond all the shock value, what is this play actually trying to say? Why does any of this matter? Slave Play uses this whole therapy framework to dig into some really heavy, complex themes. It basically argues that the trauma of slavery isn't just something in a history book. It's a living wound that still affects modern intimacy. And a big part of what made this so provocative is that it takes these really personal, often private conversations about race and power and just forces them onto a public stage. At the center of the therapy is this fictional diagnosis. The therapists in the play call it racialized inhibiting disorder, and they claim that historical racial trauma is causing the Black partners to lose sexual pleasure with their white partners. It's the play's way of asking, you know, can our personal problems actually be symptoms of a much larger historical disease? So, as you can imagine, a play this provocative generated a massive response, and it was deeply, deeply divided. There was really no middle ground. The reaction was split right down the middle. On one side, critics were calling it funny and scalding, a brilliant way to confront racism. But on the other side, you had people, including petitioners demanding the show be shut down, who found it traumatizing and exploitative of human atrocities. Supporters, like Asha Harris of the New York Times, argued that the play's uncomfortable nature was exactly the point. The whole idea was that it was meant to force a difficult but really necessary conversation about the legacy of slavery. But on the other side, opponents felt it just went way too far. A petition argued that the play trivialized and exploited immense historical pain just for the sake of theatrical provocation, basically turning the horrors of slavery into a spectacle. You know, one of the play's most interesting legacies is the Blackout Night. These were special performances held for an all-Black audience, and they were designed to create a space free from the white gaze, you know, the perspective of a white audience member, which can totally change how a work about race is perceived. And yeah, this initiative drew its own controversy too. So this all leaves us with this central question at the very heart of the debate. Did Slave Play push a necessary, painful conversation forward, or did it just inflict new pain for the sake of art? The fact that it earned a record number of Tony nominations but won zero awards, well, it suggests that for now, there is no easy answer.